Now, this is the third time we're focusing in 3 weeks on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're seeing this from different angles. 2 weeks ago, we saw it from the angle of Matthew, who was recording the seriousness of our sins that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to call out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we learned that there was a choice between the Lord Jesus Christ being left alone for those 3 hours on the cross, bearing the sins of the world, or us being abandoned by God forever in hell. That was the choice. And the Lord Jesus Christ chose to go to the cross for us. And last week we saw Peter speaking about this. And Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 said, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree. And we saw the emphasis there that he took the weight of sin and he was cursed for it. And we started to see from what Peter was saying there, the transformation that could come in a person's life. Now, when we are looking at the cross from Paul's perspective this morning, we're looking particularly at the effect that the cross has when we trust in Christ. Now, it's interesting when you read in the newspapers about someone who has professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading a couple of things this week about someone, and it said that at a certain time in his life, he began to practice his faith. So they're watching and say, oh, he's starting to do things which look a bit Christian. Another phrase is, he began to be an active Christian. And then you think, well, what's an inactive Christian? Because people looking on don't understand the transformation that takes place when someone becomes a Christian. Now, maybe you today are saying, well, I don't see the difference between someone becoming a Christian to someone becoming a Muslim or a Mormon or an atheist. They just had a change of their views. They might have changed their mind, and they might have changed things that they've done. They might have stopped doing certain things. They might have done other things. If you see someone convert to Islam, you might start to see them through a lady wearing a hijab. They might start to go to Friday prayers. They start to do different things. And why do they start to do those things? Well, they think that doing those things gets them to God, don't they? They get certain points, in other words. Well, there was a man who came to Jesus who was thinking about doing good things to get to God. And his name was Nicodemus. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even start to understand me as a king unless you're born again. And he wasn't even commanding him to be born again, because it's difficult to command someone to do something they can't do. He said, you need to be born again. You need to have a total transformation. And in this verse, Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul explains what it's like to have that total transformation. We know Paul has possibly the biggest change of anyone in the New Testament. He was heading to Damascus to persecute Christians. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went as a witness through great pain and suffering to Jesus Christ. His life was turned around. And Paul, in this verse, describes how becoming a Christian is about forming an unbreakable spiritual connection to Jesus Christ. Did you find verse 20 sound a little strange as you read it? I have been crucified with Christ. You think, well, what does that mean, Paul? You went on the cross with him. Essentially, what that's saying is the path that Jesus followed physically, he died and rose again, is the path that believers follow spiritually. And the spiritual is the hardest thing to see. So if we were to say the cross, and we were singing a song, weren't we, a children's song, which said, "Sometimes I think about the cross, I close my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me." And people then try and draw pictures, don't they, of Christ on the cross, which miss the point. Because they show the physical sufferings. But as the hymn goes on, "But even could I see him die, I would see a little part." Because the main, the true, the ultimate sufferings were proclaimed by our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was bearing sin, the spiritual aspects of the cross. And so this verse tries to get through to us the spiritual changes that take place when we have that connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, being crucified with Christ and rising with Christ. We see that in a different way, don't we? When someone becomes a Christian, they're baptized, they're immersed in water as if they're dead, and then they come up as if they're alive. We're speaking about spiritual death and spiritual life. So, let's see if we can look at this verse in two ways about what conversion means. You say, what does it mean to become a Christian? How would Paul describe it from this verse? 2 points. The first one is that the old Paul was dead. And the second point is the new Paul was alive. So that's two simple points. The old Paul was dead and the new Paul was alive. So let's look at the first one then. The old Paul was dead. And Paul, when he says, "I've been crucified with Christ," is reminding us that the cross of Christ has a killing power. That's what a cross is there to do, to kill. Now, what does it mean to be, for Paul to be dead, for the old Paul to be dead? Well, the first thing it means is that Paul was dead to the demands of God's law. Now, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, people, the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, recorded 7 things that he said when he was on the cross. And I believe it's the second last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross was one word. And the one word he yelled out was "finished." Finished, sometimes translated, "it is finished." And what Jesus was saying there was the price has been paid. He'd borne the price for sin. The demands of God's law were finished. Now, you know, when in the old days, when someone got hung, and then really there's not a lot you can do to them after that, is there? I mean, today you get someone locked up and they say, "Well, oh, that's not good enough for them. Let's put them in a nastier bit of prison. Let's keep them there a bit longer and let's execute them." But once you've executed them, I mean, the law's done its worst. It can't demand any more, can it? You can't go more than the death penalty. The death penalty is the ultimate penalty. And once you're dead to any demands that the law has got on you. And what Paul is saying when he says, "I've been crucified with Christ," is he's saying when the Lord Jesus Christ was dead, the sentence had been passed, the punishment had been paid, Jesus was dead to any more demands that God's law had on him for his people. And Paul, as one of those people, was also dead to the demands of God's law. How does Paul say elsewhere? He says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, you know, sometimes when people start hearing about sin, this is the reaction they have. Maybe you've had this reaction. You start hearing what the Bible says about sin and you're like, "Oh right, I thought I was all right compared to other people, but compared to God's standards, I'm not doing too well. What I need to do, obviously, is to start to clean up my life." And people start to clean up their life, live better, be more honest, be nicer to other people. Maybe some of the deceits, some of the other practices are put away. And they're thinking, I can make it up to God. But what Paul is saying, when he says, I've been crucified with Christ, he's saying, I am dead to any sense that I can make it up to God in any way. I mean, Paul had done it all, hadn't he? Kosher foods, he was there. Clean living, he was there. Observing all the rituals, he was there. But he said, I'm dead to that. I've been crucified with Christ. I am dead to the idea that the law can get me to God. The demands of the law have been met by Jesus. It is finished. So Paul says in the previous verse here, I died to the law. There's no way that the law could get Paul to God. He was dead to the law. Why was he dead to the law? Because Christ was dead to the law. The law couldn't have any claim on Christ and cannot have any claim on the believer. Isn't that wonderful? Anyone can come to accuse. The devil's an accuser. And what does Christ say? Finished. Price paid. Not listening. Price has been paid. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Where he went, I went. When he died to the law, I died to the law. It can never get me there. And it doesn't need to, because Christ has got me there already. That's one wonderful way that Paul could say, I am crucified with Christ. But there's a second way that Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ. He wasn't just dead to the demands of the law, but he was dead to his old life. You see, when someone becomes a Christian, it's not a little tweak. Sometimes people kind of put their lives into compartments. Sometimes this is seen as kind of downstairs and upstairs. You know, if I came over to your house, knocked on the door, and you hospitable people invited me in and said, hello, come on in, where would you show me into? You would show me into the sitting room, wouldn't you? Possibly the kitchen. But it'd be, unless you're living in a bungalow, it's downstairs. They're the living areas, aren't they? They're the common areas. And you have the private areas upstairs. Now, sometimes people think that becoming a Christian is everything is normal in terms of my normal living, all my downstairs stuff. But in the kind of upstairs compartment, the kind of private religious bit of my life, I'll kind of slot a bit of God in there. That is not what the Bible calls conversion. Conversion is total. In our lives, the upstairs, the downstairs, every single nook and cranny in our lives is completely changed. And Paul describes it in this way. I have been crucified with Christ. My old life is dead. It's gone. Every single last bit of it. Conversion means the sentence of death on our old life. If you look at this verse, have you noticed how many times Paul talks about himself in it? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a whole lot of personal stuff in this verse. It's a deeply personal verse. And when we're dead to our old life, it's been described that we've had a cure to eye disease. Not the eyes in our heads, but the I, me first idea. It's the I that has been crucified with Christ. Now, I know when you've got bringing up children, and there's a phrase that they learn very fast. You notice some phrases get learnt really fast. Have you noticed that please and thank you seem to be on the slow lane and I want seems to be on the fast lane in terms of language acquisition? I want, I want, I want. Now, we might, by getting more polite and being well trained, manage to replace I want with please, may I. But that doesn't mean that within us, the I want is not still there in our hearts. We've just learned to cover it up. And when we're looking at life, We're just thinking about me. I'm thinking about my problems. Who's going to solve my problems? And I want to say my pleasures. I want to have some fun. And what about my position? What people think of me? It's all about I, me, and my. And that's the essence of sin. A me first perspective. And what does that lead to in humanity? A me first perspective. It leads to jealousy. It leads to bitterness. It leads to hatred. It leads to so many things which harm us. But when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he's saying the I has been crucified. The meanness has gone. I bow before his throne and say, you're on the throne, not me. And it breaks the power of self. Because he's the one on the throne, not me on the throne. I'm dead to my old life, which is all about me. But there's a second aspect to what it means to be dead to my old life. It means that sin's pleasures lose their appeal. There's a deadness to the pleasures of sin. Now, sometimes you read of an avid football fan. You know, the kind of person who buys the season ticket, gets the shirt, talks about it, stands in the rain and whinges, and so on. And then their club is bought out. But it's not being bought out by people they like, it's being bought out by some corrupt foreign owner. And they just say, that's not my club anymore. I'm not interested in them anymore. Any desire to follow them has gone out the window because they're under a corrupt foreign owner. Well, when someone becomes a Christian, the Christian realizes that all the pleasures that were pulling them along were pleasures by a corrupt foreign owner. It's called the devil. And they see that, and they see him for what he is. And they say, I don't want that anymore because I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to my old meanness. I'm dead to my old life. I see those pleasures for what they are. So what is Paul starting to say here? And this is first thing, the old Paul is dead. He's dead in two ways, remember. He's dead to the demands of God's law. God's law has no call on him anymore. Christ has paid it all. And he's dead to his old life. The meanness is gone. Lord Jesus Christ is now on the throne. How has that come about? Because of this unbreakable spiritual connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the destructive work's only the start. Do you know, if you came to a house, you know, you come to a site, Thanet seems to be full of these. They find an old property and they think, should we renovate it? We're not going to renovate it. We're just going to smash it down. And they can smash it up and then you can see it's left with this building site of rubble. And what happens next? Well, occasionally they just leave it. There's a place near us where it's just full of brambles. Well, that's a waste of time, isn't it? That's part one without part two. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he establishes a life-giving spiritual connection with us, he doesn't leave it at part one. There's part two. Not just the old Paul was dead. Now we see, inevitably, the new Paul was alive. That Paul had followed, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ from cross to tomb and out again. There was new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, we see here, there's a new perspective. What does Paul say? It is no longer I, not the me who live, but Christ who lives in me. Someone described this as the difference between having introspective and extrospective. Extrospective is not a word that you just didn't know about. It didn't really exist. But you're looking in at yourself. And extrospective, you're looking out. It changes our perspective on life. no longer I. We see things differently. We feel things differently. It's not me first, it's this desire for others. And you say, well, I'm not, when you become a Christian, you say, well, this is not a natural thing. I'm not this kind of natural, nice person. You know, people have different temperaments. And some people, they say, well, they've got a heart of gold. Everyone's got different temperaments and different inclinations. This is not about natural temperament. This is not about natural instinct. This is about supernatural change. No longer I. Seeing differently, feeling differently, giving differently. Not on the take, but on the give. There's a new perspective. But there's also a new power. No longer I who live. That's not the I. That's a perspective. But it's Christ who lives in me. That's the power. You know, you sometimes hear someone say, you haven't lived. If you could only try these types of experiences, you'd really be living life. You're missing out. And when those things are sinful, you could say to them, well, what do you mean? I haven't experienced any of those things that are killing you. But the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can truly say, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't lived. You don't know what spiritual life is. There is a new power that comes in the believer from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's described as like having a vine and the branches. Now, the branches are nothing if they're not connected to the vine. And all of the sap goes from the vine, all of the nutrients come through the roots out to the branches. And Christ gives the power to live a life for him. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, the idea is even that a branch could be grafted in, like a dead branch, grafted in. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. So it's not just that the penalty of sin is paid, that's true. We died with Christ. But the power of sin is broken. Its presence remains, but its power is broken. Because Christ lives in me. Now, I was reading recently the biography of David Livingstone, the Scottish missionary and explorer. And he was there in Africa, southern Africa. And one of the hardest things for an African chief to consider becoming a Christian was to obey the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery, and to be an African chief means you have many wives. And so they weren't just going to say, oh, I'll become a Christian, because they knew that becoming a Christian was massively costly. It was personally costly. They've got to get rid of all of their wives apart from the first one, who was the true wife. It's financially costly, because it's not just they're going to just kick them out. You know, the whole dowry system, they come in with a dowry. Well, the dowry's now going back out again. So all that money to provide for these wives who you're not living with as wives. And it's reputationally costly, because they'll get ridiculed by others because their status is to see how many wives they've managed to have. How can you see if they're converted? Because they say, I'm giving up on polygamy. Because Christ lives in them. The power to break with sinful practices, no matter what the personal cost, the financial cost, the reputational cost. And the key point about being a Christian, or a key identifying mark, is this. Is there a desire to be free from sin? Not that Christian is perfect. But Paul says the mark of the Christian is the new Paul was alive. Christ lives in me. A desire to be free from sin. So we've seen that new Paul was alive. There was a new perspective, no longer I. There was a new power, but Christ lives in me. And there's a new passion. Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, people in this world, how do people act? How do they decide what to do? Well, generally, they see what other people do. Look around. That's what they're doing. They hear what other people do. They listen to the messages of what's expected by the culture. And they say, I just like to fit in and get on. That's how most people behave, isn't it? I just want to kind of fit in and get on. They might agree, disagree, but they just generally watch, listen, and want to fit in and get on. What is the mark of the believer? The new Paul. The new Paul lives by faith in the Son of God. So how do you live by faith in the Son of God? You listen to the Word of God. And you say, whatever the majority are doing around me is irrelevant. What is relevant is what the Word of God tells me to do. I'm going to believe every word that it says, and I'm going to act accordingly. That's what Paul says. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. That's not something airy-fairy. That's something very specific and active. Paul is taking specific things that he's doing and other things that he's not doing. He realizes that this world is passing away. And he's got a wonder, hasn't he? What's his wonder? His wonder is, one man left heaven that I should not perish with it. Or better put, the Son of God left heaven and became a man that I may not perish with it. And Paul thinks, wow, he loved me and gave himself for me. There's the me in a different sense. Some of the eyes is like, oh, I'm important. Here's the me. It's like Paul saying that for me, I'm not important. But he loved me and gave himself for me. Now, it's great if you're married to a believer. Your husband or your wife is a believer. That's wonderful. But your husband or your wife cannot save you. It's not the way it works. Salvation is deeply personal. It's realizing the Son of God loved not them, me, and gave himself for me. That's the mark of a believer. The mark of Paul. He's alive. The new Paul was alive. New perspective, not me. New power over sin, Christ living in him, and a new passion to live by faith in the Son of God. I wonder if you've heard the story of Adolf Eichmann. Adolf Eichmann was a German-Austrian man who was one of the key architects of the Holocaust. And after the Second World War, when the Israeli state was formed, their secret service, Mossad, said, we're going to track you down and we're going to bring you to justice. You can run, but you won't hide from us. And off they went. And off they went to Argentina. They went there. They found Eichmann 15 years on from the end of the war, 1960. Thinks he might have got away with it. And they chase him down. They say, you can't hide. They take him out of Argentina. Argentinian government, not very happy, but they take him anyway. They stick him on trial. He's got to be on trial. He's found guilty. He's executed. He's tracked down. And without the power of the cross, that is what the law is doing to us. It tracks us down. And the law of God says, you can run, but you can't hide. Because on the last day, God will bring every deed into judgment, even every secret deed, every idle word, and we're all sunk. And this is why Paul is so excited by the power of the cross. He's saying, at the cross, the law's full penalty was executed. Christ died. And Paul said, if I'm trusting in Christ, he's paid my punishments. So the law has got nothing on me. I have been crucified with Christ. Let me ask you today, are you running? Do you need to run? Because you're either crucified with Christ or facing the law by yourself. You're running. And Paul says, I don't need to run anymore. It's wonderful. I have been crucified with Christ. And Paul says, this gets better. It's not that I just don't need to run away from punishment, but my whole life has been transformed because I don't stay with Christ on the cross. When he moves to resurrection, I'm with bursting with new life. I'm bursting with new spiritual life. I'm a new creation. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, wow, I've been transformed. If you're running, why keep running? The law will track you down. God's law will track you down. You can't hide from him. And he offers you death to yourself and new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. How that happened to Paul, he had to humble himself. He had to come to Christ. Let me ask you today, if you're running, why run when you can come? Come to Christ. Humble yourself before him. Put the I down and say, the Lord Jesus Christ, you be in control of my life. You please forgive me. Please change me. Please give me the new life that you gave Paul and you gave Peter and you gave Matthew and you've given so many since then. And then you'll be able to say with Paul in wonder, he loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.